Good evening. My name is Joey Miller, and tonight, with the help of my mom and my pastor, I'd like to share a little bit of our story with you.
Christmas was always a wonderful time of year in our home. My husband, Robert, loved me with all his heart, and our son, Joey, he brought an extra helping of joy to everything we did. My life was all I had prayed for and more.
The Miller family was a glowing beacon of happiness in our church. Every time the church doors were open, they were there.
Every Christmas, Mom bought a big red Christmas candle that she lit at sunset every evening in December. She kept it in our front window so that everyone in the neighborhood could see it.
I let our Christmas candle burn until bedtime every night, and I could usually make one candle last through December.
Sarah Miller was especially gifted in speech and music. So when Joey was about 6 years old, I asked Sarah if she would be in charge of putting together our very first ever Christmas program.
Mom never did anything halfway, and the Christmas program was no exception. Before long, just about everyone in the church was involved, and though it was a lot of work, everybody loved it.
The Saturday before Christmas, we had a dress rehearsal starting at noon. To give me some more time to collect my thoughts, Robert offered to take Joey to their favorite pancake house and have pancakes about 10 o'clock. Robert was always so thoughtful.
So Dad and I went and got blueberry pancakes and sunny side up eggs. I just loved being with my dad. He was my hero.
The rehearsal went from noon until 3 o'clock, and Sarah ran things like a pro. Before it was over, everyone knew exactly what to do, and I couldn't wait for the Sunday evening performance. We were all so excited.
On Sunday afternoon, we had planned to go get burgers and a milkshake at 4, but I told Robert and Joey to go ahead without me. I needed some time to pray and to collect my thoughts. At the last minute, I got the idea to bring my Christmas candle to church and put it on the front platform. It was the perfect finishing touch.
I remember that first program so vividly. We had borrowed a lamb from a local farmer, and 5 minutes before the program, the lamb started prancing around the stage and entertaining everybody. It was so much fun.
We had a record attendance that night, and I was so nervous. I could hardly sit still. But when Pastor Morgan began to pray and to welcome everyone, God quieted my spirit and replaced my nervousness with overflowing joy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the very first Christmas program we've ever attempted here at the church. I especially want to thank Sarah Miller for her hard work putting all this together. We definitely could not have done this without her. Now, I'd like to invite you to sit back and enjoy yourself as the choir takes us back in time to that very first Christmas.
I'm gonna go down to the manger of Bethlehem, see the little babe in the manger bed. Oh, who will come and go with me, dear Lord? Show us the way. I'm gonna go down to the manger of Bethlehem, see the little babe in the the manger, down to 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 the manger.
Imagine standing with the shepherds as the angels announced the arrival of the Messiah. Imagine traveling with them to the manger and gazing into the face of baby Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What an unbelievable night that must have been.
The first program was a grand success, and everyone loved it. From then on, Mom was in charge of the Christmas program, and everyone looked forward to it all year long.
Robert and Joey kept up their tradition of breakfast at 10 a.m. at their pancake house and then lunch or supper at their hamburger place. They grew to be very close.
Every morning after Dad left for work, May and Mom would read through the Bible together. She had us on a schedule where we would read through the Bible every year.
I so enjoyed that time with Joey, that having alone time with him in the Scriptures. I would also talk to Joey about asking Christ as his Savior.
Mom would explain to me that Jesus loved me and died on the cross so that my sins could be washed away.
I would go through all the Bible verses about receiving Christ, but for some reason, Joey always put it off. My main focus was Joey's salvation.
As the years passed, the Miller family gradually began to have some struggles. Robert started to drift. No one really knew why, but everyone could see it. Robert was slipping away from his family and from the Lord.
I thought it must be my fault. I did everything I could to try to pull him back to the Lord and to us, but nothing seemed to help. When he was home, he was usually on his computer. Robert's temper began to be a constant problem. The tension in our home was unbearable.
By the time I was 15, my dad was a different person. He was distant, like his mind was always somewhere else, and he disappeared a lot. For work, he said, but I was never sure.
I tried to talk to Robert a number of times to see if I could help, but he made it very clear that he did not want to see me or talk with me.
When December came, I put our Christmas candle in the front window just like always. I told Joey that every time we saw the candle burning, it could remind us to pray for Dad and not to lose hope that God could work a miracle.
The Sunday of the Christmas program, Dad and I went out for burgers at 4 like usual, but he didn't want to talk. When I asked him questions, he got really mad and told me to mind my own business. When I wouldn't leave him alone, he came down on me with an explosion of words that I will always remember.
When Robert and Joey arrived to the church for the program, I knew something was wrong. Joey seemed to be in some kind of a fog, and Robert wore that angry look that was becoming all too familiar. I prayed that the Christmas songs would soften Robert's heart. Little did I know that everything was about to change.
Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas program. We are delighted you've decided to join us tonight to celebrate God's gift of His Son. Sing along with us as we welcome the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of all the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is important to remember that God first loved us. Tonight, I can assure you that God loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. And tonight, he is reaching out to you in love, saying, "Come to me. Trust my Son to be your Savior. I have provided a way for you to have your sins forgiven. Take my gift of salvation and come be with me forever in heaven." Tonight, God is reaching out to you. Will you receive his gift?
After the program, Dad made a feeble attempt at an apology, but I knew I would never forget the things he said to me that afternoon. And then by Christmas Day, he was gone. Just like that, he left.
He left.
And suddenly we were alone.
Our church family encircled us with loving arms and tried to help, but Joey and I were both devastated. I cried and I cried, and Joey, he just pulled into himself.
My heart broke for Joey and his mom when Robert left. Our church reached out in every way we could, but a darkness had descended on Joey that would not be lifted.
Two people doesn't feel like a family. Mom had to pick up another job to pay the bills, and I was on my own most of the time. Sure, the church families made an effort, but I didn't want their pity. I didn't want a refrigerator full of casseroles. I wanted my dad.
Christmas was never the same after that. At first, Christmas season brought back a flood of painful memories. But as the years passed, the gleam of my Christmas candle reminded me that Jesus, the light of the world, still loved us and would take care of us.
Why did Dad leave? Maybe Mom knew, but she wouldn't say. And in the end, I realized it didn't matter why he left, only that he did. The hurtful things he said to me that day of the program kept replaying over and over again in my mind.
I prayed daily for a way to help Joey. He was bewildered and confused at first, but it was swiftly changing to rage right in front of me.
My dad said I was stupid, and my grades took a nosedive soon after he left, and before long, I was failing half my classes. He said a lot of other things, too, and with one failure after another, I began to prove him right.
Joey started coming home with black eyes and bloody knuckles. I marched him straight into counseling to Pastor Morgan, but that only seemed to make him more angry.
I started meeting with Joey every week, but he stonewalled my attempts to help with a mixture of silence and a I don't care attitude.
By the next Christmas, Joey was almost unrecognizable as the sweet boy I remember. He was so angry, and no matter how many people were around him, he always seemed alone.
When it came time for the church Christmas program, I couldn't even walk in the door of the church. I know it hurt Mom's feelings, but I skipped her program that night and every Christmas after that. I boycotted the whole Christmas season. Every decorated tree and Christmas carol reminded me of my dad, and Mom's Christmas candle glowing in the front window seemed to shine a spotlight on the gaping hole in my heart.
The years passed, Christmas after Christmas. My heart broke every Christmas when the rest of the world turned merry, and Joey retreated a little further into himself. By God's grace, we managed to get him through school. While his GPA wouldn't get him in any decent college, at least he had a diploma.
Mom was so relieved when I managed to graduate and so proud of that wretched diploma, like it would somehow save me. Never mind the fact that my grand destiny was likely to be flipping hamburgers for the rest of my life.
I was genuinely surprised every time Joey showed up at my office. But our counseling sessions were the only thing he never tested his mother on. However, once he turned 18, he disappeared from our church as swiftly as he'd been swallowed by the shadows that seemed to haunt his soul.
I didn't seek out friends, and honestly, that's probably just as well, since I doubtless would have been drawn to the wrong people. But being alone in your own head can be just as destructive. My past was a black hole, my present no better, and my future was as good as lost too. I was without hope, plunging headlong into darkness, and I knew it.
I worked 60 hours a week just to keep the lights on at home. But in December, I took a little time off to put together the Christmas program, which was always the highlight of my year. I cataloged my life by the songs we sang. Each one felt like a chapter in my life. Something new God was teaching me, or another way he was comforting me and giving me hope.
I was stunned when I got the call. It was the day of the Christmas program, and there was Joey Miller on the phone. I hadn't seen him in years. He was in jail for beating a man half to death in a barroom brawl. He'd been in lockup for 2 days. The man he'd assaulted was going to be all right, but this wasn't Joey's first time in jail, and the bail was high. Almost to the penny what I had in my savings.
There were only two people in the world I could think of that would help me, and I just couldn't bring myself to call Mom, so I called Pastor Morgan.
I knew with a groan that bail amount matching my savings was no coincidence. It was as if the Holy Spirit were whispering in my ear, "You prayed for years for a way to make a difference in this boy's life. Here's your chance."
Pastor came and got me. He didn't lecture me or preach at me. He told me his only condition for posting my bail was that I attend the church Christmas program. That evening, when I stepped out of the darkness into the glittering light of the church lobby, my chest felt tight and my stomach was somewhere down in my shoes. Thousands of Christmas lights set the church ablaze, and right at the front of the platform was Mom's Christmas candle. It was exactly the way I remembered it. The last time I'd been at church, on this night, it had been the end of everything.
Joey halted at the entrance to the auditorium and stood there for a moment as if he were frozen. My own feelings were in turmoil. Should I speak? Should I be silent? For a second, I thought he might turn around and run. But then he took a step into the auditorium and slipped into a back seat.
I thought I was hallucinating when I saw Joey in the back row, sitting in the shadows with Christmas lights illuminating his face. As usual, his harsh expression was softer, uncertain. I prayed that God would touch his heart. I prayed that God would yank my boy back to him.
I didn't know what else to do, so I just prayed.
I just prayed.
Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas program, and thank you for coming. Let's begin tonight by singing a few familiar carols to begin our time of remembering God's gracious gift of His Son. Jesus came to a world that was lost in sin, a world that was without hope. He came to bring forgiveness and cleansing, love, joy, and peace. He came to a world that was shrouded in darkness and brought glorious light. Tonight, let's remember that a little over 2,000 years ago, hope was born. Tonight, let us remember why Jesus came to the earth. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to die so that we could be forgiven of our sins and live with Him forever. Galatians 1:4 says that Jesus gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil world. Most of us have heard this message so often that perhaps it doesn't touch our hearts the way it really should. Tonight, see Jesus, your Savior, dying where you should have died. Feel the agony He suffered for you. And let's ask God to break our stony hearts.
Cold and dark.
Seemed aimed at me somehow, and I found myself remembering all the stories about Jesus I'd heard as a child, from the baby in the manger, to the carpenter's shop, to the agony of the cross. I suddenly realized that Joseph kind of disappeared from Jesus' story along the way. When things started getting tough for Jesus, his father wasn't there. Of course, Joseph probably hadn't run out on him and Mary, but gone is gone.
I watched Joey all through the program. I could see the conflicting emotions warring on his face.
And I prayed.
And then it hit me like a punch in the stomach that even God abandoned his son. When he was on the cross, Jesus cried out to his father, "Oh God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The program had ended and I hadn't even noticed. Most of the people were gone and Pastor Morgan was sitting next to me. I turned and bitterly spoke to him. "Even God abandoned his son. Is that just what fathers do?"
"No, Joey. Men fail every day. But God forsook his son so that he wouldn't have to forsake us. He welcomes us all to be his children. And he will never leave us or forsake us. He promised that. And he never breaks his promise. You don't have to be alone. You have a heavenly father who loves you, a savior who died for you, and you have a mother right here who loves you with every fiber of her being."
Mom was standing there, not saying anything, her eyes all teary. 1,000 tiny Christmas bulbs flared and blurred together in streaks of light, and I realized I was crying too. 22 years old and crying like a baby. Mom got all huggy, but for once, I didn't mind. "Merry Christmas, Mom," I said, and for the first time since I was 15, I really meant it.
"Merry Christmas, Joey."
I knew what I needed to do, and I asked Pastor Morgan to help me. Jesus had died to save me, and I had rejected him long enough.
Joey was ready to trust Christ as his Savior, and it was a joy to see what God was doing in his heart.
As hard as I prayed for this moment, I still felt like I was living in a dream. My son prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him for his many sins, and then he asked Jesus to cleanse him and to be his Savior.
Again, my mom had her arms around me, and again we were both crying. I'll never forget the joy of that moment.
It was one of the sweetest times I had ever witnessed. I had prayed for this miracle for so long, and now God was answering my prayer.
I pleaded guilty on the assault charges and got 90 days in jail along with anger management counseling. I didn't let those days go to waste. I spent them reading my Bible and praying and writing letters to the people I'd hurt, asking forgiveness.
I got the sweetest letter from Joey, apologizing page after page.
I got a letter, too, thanking me for all those years of counseling sessions when he was a teenager. He sure didn't act like it at the time, but as it turns out, those hours really meant something to him. Knowing that someone cared, that I hadn't given up on him, that God hadn't given up on him, made an impact that I couldn't see.
The last letter I wrote was to my dad. After I finally found his address, I told him how angry I had been at him and asked him to forgive me. I also told him that I loved him and that I would love to see him.
And now Joey and I are both praying for Robert. Every time I light my Christmas candle, I'm reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. And every time I look at Joey, I'm reminded that God still works miracles in people's hearts.
I'm taking night classes at a community college now and studying under Pastor Morgan to be a counselor. I traveled a dark road to get here, but even though I walked through a valley of shadows, God never deserted me. God's word doesn't return void, and prayers to him never go unanswered. I had no hope, but God answered the prayers of a godly pastor and a praying mother, and now my hope is Jesus.
He saved me, and he will.
tell you that you can go farther and farther and go farther away from God. So quickly it happens. Pastor Morgan tried to rescue Joey. And you can do all you will. You do all you can for some people. You can preach all you want. You can counsel them all you can. You can pray all you can. But unless that person wants to come to Christ, or may I say back to Christ, I don't care if you have the best sermons. I don't care if you're the best counselor. I don't care if you give the best presentation or the best illustrations. Unless that person is willing, you might as well be talking to a post or the back gate. Man has a free will. And God has given him that. He can choose whether or not he accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior or not. He can see what God has done for him through the Word of God and through preaching and through loved ones. But until he takes that personal step and that request from God for his salvation, he'll never be saved. We who try to win others are helpless without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And even the Holy Spirit of God works only when the person is willing to listen. Remember how Sarah's husband slipped away farther and farther and farther, and according to the story, never came back. That old stony heart is a plague to mankind. It seems like it's like the sun that beats down on the clay. It just turns harder. There are those who may never come back. But God, so love the world, is still in the book. There's always hope. Always. Never give up on that child. Never give up on that husband. Never give up on that daughter. Never give up on that son. Never give up on that loved one. Never give up on that friend. Never give up on that neighbor. Never give up on that employee or employer. It is our responsibility to continue to love them. It's our responsibility to continue the best we can and the best we know how to tell them that Jesus loves you and He cares for you. Sometimes it doesn't look so good. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's worth it. But ladies and gentlemen, it is worth it. There's some people out in this audience today that somebody didn't give up on them. You're looking at one right now. I remember the times of my pastor, many times when I was in high school, wanted to say something, but he knew maybe he shouldn't. I'll be honest with you, I wish he would have. But thank God there are some who comes alongside, puts their arm around him, says, you know what? You're not trash. You're not worthless. You're something very special. And God has something very special for you. I hope tonight, if you're here, that you won't give up on people. I hope you're here tonight and you won't give up on that one that seems like the impossible case. I thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ never gave up on the Apostle Paul. For we would not have that wonderful books of the Bible that he wrote. He was a tyrant. He was a terror-driven man. Thinking he was doing right. Yet he was doing completely wrong. Until he saw Jesus. There's a lot of times in our lives that we need to remember the fact that we should never give up on anyone. I pray tonight that you won't give up on folks. Don't give up on them. Keep loving them. Keep loving them. I pray that you'd be like Pastor Morgan, that when somebody asks you for your all you got, that you'll give if you can. I hope that you'll be like a mother who never forgets the prayer for her son. And of course, prayer for her husband. May God help us as we go through life. Always be looking for something and someone who needs some help. And someone who needs our love. I heard a man say everyone has a problem. Everybody's going through some tough times. Everybody has a worse problem than yours. And they need your help. They need your love. Be kind to everyone you meet. For everyone has a problem. Father, I pray you tonight that as this message went forth, that we would realize the great opportunities that are ours who have trusted you as our Savior, that you've given us to be the part of the remedy, the part of the counsel, the part of the human touching human, telling others that you love us no matter what. Thank you, Lord God, that you never give up. The Holy Spirit never gives up. The Heavenly Father never gives up. Lord, you said that we're to be like you. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. May we love one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Help us, Lord God, that our lives would be in such a way that we can help others. Lord, I pray tonight now, if there's anyone here that has not made that personal choice of you as their Savior, that tonight would be the night. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'd like to ask you a question. Are you here today and are you sure if you died tonight you'd go to heaven? Are you positive of it? Are you sure of it? Has there been a time in your life that you looked down to God and looked down at yourself and looked up to God, may I say, and said, I am a sinner. I have no hope within me. There's nobody can help me except one, and his name is Jesus. I pray tonight that you'd accept him as your Savior. Why don't you right there say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. God, be my Savior today. If you're here today and you say, that was me, Pastor, would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I will not point you out, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's a grand day to have a Savior to come into your heart and your life. Your life can be changed forever, for eternity. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm thinking of somebody right now that needs a lot of prayer. I'm thinking about someone that I'm not going to give up on. I'm going to continue to pray for them. Father, you know the hearts and lives of these folks that are here tonight and also the folks that are in desperate need of a Savior. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd speak to us tonight as we have this invitation. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to have everybody sing. Stand. I hope.
Choir is going to sing this song. I hope for Jesus. Here tonight, you do not have Christ to save your body.
You know Jesus is your Savior? Are you positive? Are you sure?
When darkness hides my Savior's face, I rest on His unchanging.
I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Well, let me show you from the Word of God. God loves you and He cares for you. Maybe there's someone here tonight who says, you know, preacher, I haven't followed Lord and believer's baptism yet. I've been saved, but I have not gone down in the water and up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at.
You may be seated. We're going to have a baptism tonight. And Jason's heading up. This is one of his boys. And so, let's see. I'm going to grab a psalm book. All right, let's take our psalm. Let's turn to page 107. So little time, page 107. Now, what an exciting night to see him get baptized.
Amen.
All right, page 107, so little time.
So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope He'll smile, and that He'll say, well done. Today we reap, or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often did I fail to strictly warn. The Spirit moved, oh, had I pled for Jesus. The grain is fallen, lost ones not reborn. Today we reap, or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. burning. Today we'll go to bring some sinner in. Despite the heat, the ceaseless toil, the hardship, the broken heart, for those we cannot win. Misunderstood, because we're all peculiar, still no regret we'll have but for our sin. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning. Today
Gavin Reed. Gavin, have you trusted Jesus Christ your personal Savior?
Yes.
I'm a profession of your faith. I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried the likeness of his death. Raised the likeness of his resurrection. We have done as the Lord has commanded.
Did you pray?